We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Wednesday to you, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs coming to you from the studios of WMIE 91.5 FM right here in Cocoa, Florida. You are listening to the Refresh radio broadcast, and this broadcast is brought to you by the Saints at Merritt Assembly of God, who absolutely love the Word of God and want to see God's best for you. We continue to celebrate God's goodness, and I was just telling my wife last week that I guess it was on Friday. My day off has switched to Friday, and it was such a wonderful night of sleep. And I woke up the next day, and I told her and my daughter both. I said, you know, I just sense like we are closer to spiritual breakthrough than we have been in a long, long time. And so that's what we are believing for. That's what we are believing for. So we want to thank you for tuning in. If you have been listening to the Refresh radio broadcast for the past month, you would know that I've been on an interesting journey. I believe it was on February the 1st, I suffered a detached retina. And I've been on that process. A little over a week ago, the doctor told me that the eye was healed, and there's this gas bubble that they injected in there to help reposition the retina, and it stays there for several weeks, up to and a little over 2 months, just depending upon how long. And so the other day, I have this little bracelet on that in case I'm in an accident and unconscious, that it tells the paramedics about this gas bubble in my eye. And so the other day I actually looked at this bracelet, and I it says on there that the gas bubble that they have injected into my eye is nitrous oxide. And I was like, wow, that is really impressive. And I know that they inject that because it's lighter than air, and it helped reposition the retina. But the only other source of nitrous oxide, or the reason for nitrous oxide that I was aware of as a guy, is you would put it into a high performance vehicle in order to cause it to perform better and to go faster. And so on Sunday, I greeted our church, and I said, you know, I just realized that this injection is because they have a desire for me to be a higher performing pastor than I've ever been before. And a couple of people in my congregation said, well, that's also what they use for laughing gas. And I said, okay, so I get to be a higher performing individual than ever before, and I get to have the joy of the Lord while I'm doing it. And so they said, you're just not going to let anything, and I have a mechanic friend, and he said, well, the reason for that is because of this process and that process. And it's like, hey, all I know is it's designed to help make a car go faster. And so that's where I am at. I want to be the best me that I can possibly be. We have been talking here on the past couple of broadcasts about building each other up and our most holy faith. And Paul said, we talked about it on yesterday's broadcast. I've been given the authority to build you up, not tear you down. Today, I want to talk to you. There's a thought that I have pondered for quite some time, and this is not a message that I've ever preached at my church. It is not something that I'd actually probably like to do the research on it and write a book on it, but I haven't got that yet. And so I'll just tell you right now that if you hear something and you don't like it, I'm working through this process, And I pray that you're not offended. This is not meant to be offensive to anybody. Its ultimate goal is, out of love for you, to build you up. On Monday, I went home. I watched several documentaries to help do some research, and saw some fascinating things. And I'm going to be bringing those things out in this study. But we also would like to take just a moment and thank Weyerick Air, Heat, and Electrical at 632-9538. The weather has been such an up-and-down roller coaster here in Brevard County. Hot, cold, hot, cold, cold, hot, you know, whatever it might be. And if your equipment is beginning to show some signs of stress, and keeping up with that, no matter where you are in Brevard County, if you will call Carla at 632-9538. That number again is 632-9538 at Weyerick Air, Heat, and Electrical. They will get you back up and running. And no matter whether it's your air conditioning, your heater, or if you just need some electrical work done, they're qualified and licensed to do all of that sort of stuff. And so you can call them, and they will take care of you in a fair and honest manner. So, goodness, where to start with this study? I've got papers scattered here filled with scriptures and notes and all of that. And so let me start out here in Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7 and verse number 7. That's where we're going to begin reading. And then that'll help set the foundation for where we're going. In verse number 7, it says this: "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law, for I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, 'You shall not covet.' But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire." Let's look at that again. But sin, taking the opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire. For apart from the law, sin was dead. I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was to bring life, I found to bring death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it killed me. Therefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy is just and good. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Would you mind if I just open up in prayer, because I really want this to be an edifying message, although when you first start to hear it, you may find it to be appearing to be contrary to that, but it's really my heart's desire for this to build you up. Father, I just pray right now that you would focus my mind, my words, and my thoughts so that as I communicate the principles here today, Lord, that it is your desire to build us up, to cause us to be pillars of faith in our community, in our time. God, I pray, Lord, that we would be structurally sound. Lord, that we would be the temple of the Holy Spirit that would be fitting for the Holy Spirit to occupy. God, I pray that you would just minister in a supernatural way. Focus my words and my thoughts. In your name, I pray. Amen and amen. I believe that it is God's desire to build every man and every woman into the a vessel of honor, a temple of honor. Paul said, don't you know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? And, you know, as I'm pondering about this and as I'm thinking about it, I remember all that David put into amassing the materials to build the temple that would become known as Solomon's Temple. And the price tag for that, which was really not that large of a structure. I mean, for that day and time, it was pretty large. But, you know, we have structures that are very comparable in size, maybe not in height. If we went to our board and said, you know, we want to build a building basically the same size as our sanctuary, and we've got a $1 billion budget or a multi-billion-dollar budget, people would say, wow, what a waste. And so let me just tell you this. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. It is God's desire to build you up into a vessel of honor, a temple of honor, and the resources and the price that he has paid in order for you and I to be the temple of the Holy Spirit are much more than $1 billion, much more than $1 trillion. He has actually amassed all of that material through the price of Jesus Christ, his son. So I want to start this today by telling you that it is God's desire to build you up. In Jeremiah chapter 29, God says, I know the plans I have for you, the desires to do you good and not to harm you, to build you up. God wants for you and I to prosper. He has the plans in place. He has a step-by-step plan where you and I would result in being a temple fit for his occupancy, a temple fit for the Holy Spirit. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. But if you are ever going to be the temple of the Holy Spirit, we have to come to that place where we recognize that apart from Jesus Christ, we can do nothing. In case you are looking for that reference, let me go through my papers here. In John chapter 15, verse number 5, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Apart from abiding in Jesus Christ, we are never going to be able to be edified and built up by the Spirit of God to be the person, the church, the community that God wants us to be. If we are trying to do it apart from Jesus, we are not going to result, and here's my term, we're not going to be able to be built up into a skyscraper for Jesus Christ as long as we insist on being a sinkhole instead. That's something that I could refer to it as a black hole, you know, where we start off as self-centered and we suck in everything around us to the point that nothing can even escape, not even life or not even light itself. But I want to put it to you this way. Every person, me as before I knew Jesus Christ, you before you knew Jesus Christ, the people that we know around, every one of them, instead of operating from a skyscraper mindset, They instead operate from a sinkhole mindset where there is no foundation. Jesus gave the parable of the man who built his house upon the rock, the proper foundation, and the man who built his house against up on the sand. And both of them endured storms. Both of them endured high winds. Both of them experienced the same elements, and one crashed and the other fell. And that's because the one had no foundation. A sinkhole is something that does not have any proper spiritual foundation. It cannot support the weight that would be required to be placed upon it in order for it to be built up. In verse number 8 of Romans chapter 7, Paul writes about himself. Okay, so I don't anybody get personally offended and say, well, Pastor Bob called me a sinkhole. Pastor Bob called himself a sinkhole. Pastor Bob calls every person that you and I know that is the premise from which we started, and we have got to allow God to have his work deep down on the inside of us in order to bear up the weight that would be required in order for us to become a skyscraper. I hope that it is your desire to be a pillar for Jesus Christ, that you would be a skyscraper for him that testifies, that reaches to the heavenlies, that you have a foundation that enables you to rise to the fullest potential that God has for you. But here's the reality. If we don't allow him to do the foundational work and acknowledge the faults and the shortcomings that we have in our life, if we don't allow him to do the infrastructure which people will not see, then we're not going to be able to stand up anything that's above ground. About 15 years ago, maybe a little bit longer, the county was doing some renovations in the neighborhood where our church sits, in the Merritt Park Place area, by the way. If you haven't been to visit us, we will be having our vintage service today at 11 o'clock, and then we'll have our boys and girls ministry tonight at 6:30. And that project went on and on and on. It seemed like on the one street, it lasted for a couple of years. And the reason for all of that was because it was taking them that long. They were replacing all of the old water pipes that had been there for decades. They were replacing all of the underground utilities. They were preparing it not just for what it had been, but for what it was going to be in the future. They put in what was necessary for now, but they also equipped it with things for future area. And it took a long time for them to get the subterranean work done so that there would be a proper foundation for what is now a very pretty drive there on Grove Street. They've put in dividers and stuff like that. Some of the plants that they planted didn't make it. Some of them are doing quite nicely and things like that. But just like that, you and I, we have got to allow God to work on the underground material, the foundational material. He wants to make sure that everything in our life, our spirit, our soul, our body, our home, our marriage, our finances, that everything is built upon the solid rock, Jesus Christ. Everything has got to be built upon Jesus Christ. And so in verse number 8 of Romans chapter 7, I mean, this is what Paul says, but sin taking opportunity by the commandment produced in me all manner of evil desire. Apart from Christ, we are not going to have a desire for the things of God. We are going to have a desire for the things that God has not labeled holy, but has labeled wicked. That's why in 2015, we are seeing such a tremendous onslaught of people who are desiring and longing for things that the Word of God clearly says He does not approve of. Now, Am I here to beat them up or to condemn them? No, you know why? Because at one point in time, I was a sinkhole. If I separate myself from Jesus, I can develop sinkhole tendencies right now. You could have those tendencies to have sinkholes, and the devil will take any opportunity that he can to come in and plant any evil desire, all manner of evil desires in us, because he does not want God to bring his plans for your life and my life into a reality. Paul goes on in verse number 18. Listen to what he says here in Romans chapter 7, verse number 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. I could just say that over and over and over again, because we live in a time where people are convinced of their own goodness apart from Christ, and they have not yet come to the realization of that Paul came to, and that is that in me, apart from Christ, in my flesh, there's nothing good living there. Nothing good. In my flesh, there's nothing that God could use to build up what he would intend to be a skyscraper of his grace and of his power. So today, could you just grab hold of the plan that God has for you, that he wants to build you as a tower and as a testament of his saving grace, that he wants to build his skyline, if you will, with trophies of his grace, and you and I have got to come and say, you know, our next thing that we are dealing with in the Lord's Prayer is forgive us our debts, forgive us our sins. And that's what we have got to come to. That's the purpose of this, is saying, you know, God, up until this point in time, I have held on to this and I've held on to that, but I need you to do a work in me. I need you to forgive me to the depth of my being. I need you to do every amount of renovation that needs to take place, because I want to be the man or the woman of God that you created me to be. Romans chapter 7 goes on and says in verse number 24, O wretched man that I am. Now, if you want to get quite particular about it, Paul writes that in the present tense. Okay, this apostle from God, and so please understand, we are not here to point fingers and say you're a sinkhole and I'm not, you're a black hole and I'm not. Every person in us that battles a carnal nature and battles our flesh, we need to come to that same realization that Paul writes about, and he says, oh, wretched man that I am. That was what he was saying was his present day reality. Oh, wretched man that I am. Okay? Even though God was using him in a powerful way, he was still battling. And he says, oh, wretched man that I am. But listen to the desire that he expresses. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Who will deliver me from this body of death? And that is the beginning. Romans chapter 8 begins to a completely new chapter in the discourse in Romans there. And it begins with this last verse in Romans chapter 7. Who will deliver me from this body of death? I can't deliver you from the body of death. I can't deliver myself from the body of death. Paul couldn't deliver himself from the body of death. There's not a person on the planet that can deal with, there's not a psychologist or a psychiatrist on the planet, not a medical doctor that can deal with the spiritual lack that we have in our life, this void that exists in a life without God. And Paul finally cries out and he says, who will deliver me from this body of death. You see, there are a lot of times that we want to make excuses and dealing with the frailties and the shortcomings in our life. But until we come to that place and says, look, I'm in a wretched mess. I'm a mess. And I don't know who's going to deliver me. Who could possibly deliver me from the mess of my life that is going on? And if we just left it there with the question, it could be quite disheartening. But Paul does not just leave us with the question. He then goes on and gives us the answer. And that is this: I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's the answer. Who can deal with the sinkhole qualities, the shortcomings? Who can build and repair the foundation that we need in our life? There is only one person, and that is Jesus Christ, our Lord, who came at the commission of God, slain before the foundation of the world, to pay the price so that he could deal with our foundation, so he could make us a trophy of his grace. One of the documentaries that I was watching on Monday said that this developer said, I actually consider architecture to be the highest form of art because people get to see it every day. As many people as want can see it on display every day. And that is what God wants to do in you, and he wants to do it in me. He wants to transform us from a wretched man filled with all sorts of evil desire that in us dwells no good thing. He wants us to take us from those sinkhole nature, from that sinkhole nature, and he wants to transform us into a trophy of his grace that is illuminated for all the world to see. If you're listening today, would you acknowledge that there are some areas in your life, like I acknowledge that there are some areas in my life, and say, God, I need you to do for some foundational work in my life. If you're going to build me up to be the best Bob that I can be, I need you to repair those damaged areas of my life. If that's you, if you want to say, God, deliver me right now, why don't you say this prayer with me? Heavenly Father, right now I recognize that apart from you, I can do nothing. Apart from you, only evil desires live inside of me. There is nothing good but God, and without God, there is no good inside of me. Without you, there's no one to deliver me. But today I'm asking you, deliver me and make me a trophy of your grace in Jesus' name. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m., and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25: He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.